And this is KNMX 540 Las Vegas, New Mexico. 23 minutes after 2 o'clock and our temperature right now at 59 degrees. And we got Matt Martinez and he's going to be talking to Congressman Ben Ray Lujan. Matt, good afternoon to you, sir.
Thank you very much, Claudio. And we're very fortunate to have been able to schedule this today. I do want to welcome back to the studios at 540 KNMX. Congressman Ben Ray Lujan, our very own alumni from the community of Las Vegas. Congressman, how are you?
Oh, Matt, I'm doing wonderful. It's beautiful. It's sunny in Las Vegas, 59, but it feels like 70, you know. A little bit of that northern sun on your face, it always warms you up. And it's already been a great day here in Las Vegas visiting with our veterans, with the Regional Economic Development Council, who are just doing an amazing job looking at what we can do to make sure we're diversifying the economy locally and putting people to work. So it's always an honor to be here, Matt, in Las Vegas visiting with our constituents and always learning.
Good deal. Now, I know you've been busy. We've got a whole bunch of stuff going on in D.C., but one of the things I did want to catch up with you about is I really hadn't seen you since election night. Then we were excited to be with you there in Santa Fe. Martha and myself went out there, and we were glad to celebrate that evening with you. And I'd be remiss if I don't ask how's your mom doing?
Oh, Matt, thank you for asking. You know, Claudio as well asked how my mom was, and he never forgets about her. También, Matt, she's doing wonderful. Thank God. You know, she's exercising. She keeps an eye on us. She's taking care of her, her small business with what she does with her rentals, and just she's amazing. I don't know how she does it every day, but she's our strength. She's our angel, and she's strong. So thanks for asking about her, Matt. Yeah.
Good deal. Well, take care of mom and then we take care of the veterans. You talked about veterans. What was the discussion about today?
So some important issues that came up today, Matt. Some questions about the VA Choice Card with how we can make sure that it's working for our veterans. The VA Choice Card came about, as you remember, when there was a meltdown, when we saw all the problems that were taking place in Phoenix, that also hit us in Albuquerque with the way that our veterans were being treated poorly, yeah, that they were being put on these waiting lists. Many veterans who could not get appointments, that it was beyond 30 days, sometimes 60, 90, 120 days for them to get an appointment. So that's where that VA Choice Card, we worked last Congress to pass legislation so that veterans would get the card so that if they were delayed with getting that appointment, they could go out of the VA to get care and get service. If you live 40 miles away from a CBOC or from a VA facility, then you get the card so that way you can go get care within your community as well. And if you're 100% disabled, it also allows for that path forward to get care with your dental or whatever it may be as well.
So prior to that passing, there wasn't a VA Choice Card.
No, there was not. And that was the problem, is that veterans were being put on these waiting lists for 60, 90 days, sometimes 6 months to get an appointment, yeah, to see their provider, which was wrong. So this was put in place to say, no, that's not going to happen any longer. And that's one of the issues we talked about today, how we can make sure that we're looking after our veterans more when it comes to casework. Very good conversation. We also looked at looking at adjusting some of the income levels associated with some of the programs where more benefits would be available to our veterans. So some very good comprehensive ideas that came out of the conversation today, I think some of which we'll be able to generate some reports, get back to our veterans and see what the next steps will be. But to see the facility here, Matt, here in Las Vegas with in conjunction with the city of Las Vegas, an idea that our veterans had many years ago, I mean, you were a part of this as well, and that a lot of people told our veterans here in the community that they'd never see this happen. And they didn't give up. And they found a way to make it happen. And now they have a facility providing more and more services to veterans here in the city of Las Vegas and surrounding communities. Karen does an amazing job. She's incredible over there. And it was an honor to be able to work with her today to visit with our veterans.
Well, you know, my dream would be that we expand that facility and add more opportunities for veterans.
That's right. And yeah, that's what we should always be striving for. There was a commitment made to our veterans, to our soldiers, when they volunteered and were called to service for our nation. That we need to live up to those obligations. They need to be put first and foremost and see what we can do to work with them and learn from them. And especially here in New Mexico, where we have such a strong population of so many heroes that our dads, our uncles, our brothers, our cousins, our aunties, our moms, our daughters, our sisters, whoever they may be, that are in our communities. And we need to fight for them, Matt.
You also mentioned you had a meeting with the economic development folks at the county. Now, in regards to, you know, some of the plans they have here locally, how can the federal government help in some of these programs?
And so, Matt, we were talking about that where when I was first elected, one of the appropriations that we were able to ask for before they were taken away, there's no more earmarks or appropriations, was for a water study here in Las Vegas as well. Understanding the water shortages that we had and how we could look to not only have water for drinking, but for economic opportunities as well to strengthen the community. And because there are no longer earmarks or appropriations, we are looking at it from a grant perspective now, is what not only what kind of technical support can there be from the federal government and working with local communities, Main Street programs, grant programs, USDA, but making sure that we are able to fight for each of those dollars to see what we could do to maximize local economic opportunity as well, sir.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Now, let me ask you in regards to business. You know, at one time, I know we visited and a few other folks with the local GM dealer here, Mr. Romero. And unfortunately, I think about the time that the president got elected, General Motors decided to do away with all these small town dealerships. Well, unfortunately, in the last few months or last month, I think the dealership finally closed down completely. Mm. We don't have a new car dealership in our town anymore at all. For the population that we serve, this whole northeastern part of the state, that's sort of a real challenge for a lot of people. Imagine, even if you buy a car in Santa Fe, Albuquerque, Taos, Española, Moriarty, or wherever, if you need service, guess what? That's a day off. If you need a repair, that's a day off. It's pretty challenging. You guys are still pretty lucky on that side of the mountain because you still have dealerships in the Española Valley. We don't have any more. Mostly everything we have is a used car dealership. Is there a way to work with some of these national companies to possibly look at coming into some of these smaller communities without the need for this huge investment? You know, they're going to want, you know, a couple of $1 million facility before you sold the first car. I mean, is there a way to work with some of these companies?
You know, Matt, we can always work with small businesses and entrepreneurs to see how we can work with the SBA and others to make sure that they have support systems around them. If there's grant opportunities available as well to help them with dollars of support with those initial investments, with technical expertise as well to help get those businesses off the ground. And then if there's anyone that we can help advocate for, that's something that I'm always willing to do as well. But I'm not aware of any programs where you can work directly with one of those national dealers to tell them that they must be in certain communities as well. But if there is an entrepreneur that's looking to get something off the ground, and that's something that we can provide assistance to in whatever way we're able to in the office, that's definitely something that we'd be open to. And so we can chat with some of the local entrepreneurs and see if that's something that our office can lend support to.
Now, do you get to see some of these executives from some of these big companies? Do they come by your office in D.C.?
You do get a chance to visit with executives from different companies from around the United States. And, you know, whenever we talk to them, we always tell them that New Mexico is open for business. We want them to headquarter here, to locate here, to open up branches here. And that's something that I'm always honored to be able to brag about New Mexico and how beautiful it is and the incredible people that we have here and the spirit of getting things done in New Mexico. So again, whenever we can visit with them about these opportunities, that's something that I'm always open and willing to do.
In regards to the rest of your day today, what are the things you're planning to do next?
So we do have open office hours where we invite anyone from the community that wants to come to visit with us, and we can open up casework. We can help them in any way that we can, Matt, navigating Social Security Administration, the IRS, helping our veterans with casework that they may have, small business owners with the SBA. And we'll be over at Kennedy Hall this afternoon from 3 to 4:30, and here on New Mexico Highlands University. I actually used to live in Kennedy, so it's a bit of a homecoming for me when I was attending New Mexico Highlands University. And then we'll be visiting with some students over at Armijo Elementary, and then we'll be visiting with a few other people, Matt. Tomorrow we'll be in Raton, looking forward to visiting with our constituents up in Raton, and then eventually making our way to Clayton tomorrow. We'll be in Clayton visiting with some of our community members and constituents. And then sometime that night, early next morning, we'll make our way back to Nambe, I believe. So just making sure that we're reaching out into the northeastern part of the district, into some of the communities. I want to make sure that we continue to travel all parts of my district into all of the counties. And it's something that I try to do as consistently as we can so that we're in each and every county to the maximum extent we can, especially, as you said, one of the larger districts in the country. It's not like some of our districts back east where they're only, you know, 10 square miles. And you can walk it. You have to drive it out here and get on those roads and go visit people that live all over New Mexico.
So, and when you have conversations like that with the president, has it been pretty receptive?
Very receptive. You know, as we talk about funding with the national labs, especially with Cannon Air Force Base, with so many important assets that we have in New Mexico, talking to them about the importance of water in the West. We're seeing with predictions from the United States Department of Agriculture now that our snowfall and our precipitation levels are getting lower and lower, which means drier conditions out West. So we have some amazing constraints that we need to address. And so that's been a big part of our conversation as well, in addition to the assets that we have in New Mexico that we have to continue to fight for and protect.
Now, do you see any challenges other than, you know, trying to get used to the new feel of the house? But do you see any immediate challenges that you think the Congress might be able to work through to get things done?
I'm hopeful, Matt. You know, I didn't think that the funding the Department of Homeland Security would be a challenge, but it became one. We also see a debt ceiling debate coming up. We'll see what happens with that debate coming forward. Fixing something that's called the sustainable growth rate. It's a policy that's been hindering reimbursement to our physicians for Medicare patients. That's been hurting the country for some time with not being able to fund this. And one, making it permanently fixed. And that's something I've been advocating for. That debate is coming front and center. The budgets are going to be presented over the next few weeks as well. We hope that we can find commonality with making sure that working people are put at the front and center of everything that we can advocate for with these budgets, that it's about fairness, that it's not just those at the upper tax brackets that are doing very, very well for themselves that get all the help, that we need to make sure that our tax code is fair, that it's going to treat people with respect and dignity. And so when people play by the rules, they can expect to do well. And so, you know, these are all important policies that over the next few months, Matt, that we're going to have to be working on.
In regards to looking at the other side of the aisle, now there's been some challenges within their own party. There's, you know, a core group that's just, you know, 100% against everything. And then you've got a moderate group there that's trying to work things out to move forward. So do you see some kind of relief in regards to communicating with the other side?
You know, Matt, you know, I'm always hopeful, but I keep coming back to the Department of Homeland Security funding. When we finally voted to fund that legislation, to fund the Department of Homeland Security, putting our national security front and center and putting it first, 167 Republicans voted against it in the House of Representatives, even though it passed out of the United States Senate with a strong bipartisan support. We were astonished that so many of our Republican colleagues in the House would vote against that. That was led by an effort. There's a 20 or so members that broke away from a group that was called the House Republican Study Committee. It was typically seen as the most conservative arm of the members of Congress in the House. There's some members that broke away from them that said that they were not conservative enough, so they started a new group. They were the ones that led the effort to vote no to funding the Department of Homeland Security this last week. And so, again, we're always hopeful. We think that there has to be a way to work together. But in this case, where every Democrat in the United States House of Representatives voted to fund the Department of Homeland Security, and we were joined by 80 or so Republicans, there's a path forward to get legislation passed that's right for the American people. And that's what I'm always looking for, is how we can put the American people first, how we can put working families, the middle class, people first. That's how I was raised. And we need to make sure we're fighting for those folks that make the country work.
Now, let me ask you, growing up in the Espanola Valley, I would imagine that basketball was a pretty big deal.
Well, growing up in Pauaca, basketball is a real big deal. And I know that UNM, the Lobos, they're currently playing right now, I think, as we speak. New Mexico State, who finished 13-1. The Aggies this year in the WAC. We have the New Mexico High School state tournaments taking place. I think there's some big games for Las Vegas this evening as well.
Yeah,
Pauaca has a big game as well with, you know, up in playing Taos. And there's, you know, this is the season.
Yeah.
And this is when people plan sometimes their spring break vacations and they travel to Albuquerque to the Pit to watch all of the young leaders in our communities run down that ramp. And it's a big honor. So it's something that I love. I played high school basketball for Pauaca High. So I remember those trips, those long trips that sometimes we take up here to play our colleagues. Some of them are my best friends now. But on the courts, you know, it was about your alma mater and making sure you stood ground and stood tall.
Well, Art Abreu is going to be bringing us the action from, I think, the Star Center in just a few minutes. And it is the Mora Rangers taking on Melrose. So is Melrose in your district?
Melrose is in the district as well, and so is Mora. So absolutely. And, you know.